How many of y'all want the Holy Spirit to rest on you today? Oh, do you feel him in this place? Do y'all feel the Holy Spirit's presence in this place? Listen, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord roam the earth, looking for someone he can prove himself strong through. And I don't know about you guys, but it's my prayer today that God can stop searching at this house. That he can keep roaming in other places, but when it comes to Harlem, that there's a group of people in this place called The Gathering who want to tell the Holy Spirit today, you can prove yourself strong right here. You don't got to look no further than us. You don't got to look no further than me. Somebody tell your neighbor, you ain't got to look no further than me, God. Somebody tell your other neighbor, you ain't got to look no further than me, God. Are y'all excited to give God praise? Give him some praise. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Family, what an exciting season in the life of our church. I don't know about y'all, but this feels like The Gathering. I don't know if you were here pre-pandemic. I don't know if you were here before all our world went to hell in a handbasket and everything just melted overnight. But before all of that happened, this is what this church felt like. This is what the Holy Spirit felt like. This is what worship felt like. This is what the word felt like. And this is what it's going to feel like again. Oh, somebody say amen. Oh, somebody say amen. Well, family, I want to be the first to officially welcome you to the season of Advent. We are in the season of Advent. And for those of us who don't know, Advent simply means arrival. Somebody say arrival. Now, Advent is all about anticipation. And you ready for this? Expectation. Advent means that something big is on the way. Advent means that something is coming that's been worth waiting for. And even though that's true, in this Advent season, if we're honest with God and with ourselves, we find ourselves squarely in the middle of some stubborn challenges. I mean, we're just in the middle of some stuff that really hasn't changed. Locally, corporately, individually, globally, we're just in the middle of the same issues it feels like we were fighting last year. Feels like we're still fighting the same battles we've been fighting for maybe 10 years, 15 years for some of us. It feels like things in our lives haven't changed as quickly as we would have liked. There's some situations that haven't shifted as fast as we would have liked. There's some growth that hasn't happened at the rate that we would have liked. There's some things that haven't started that we wished or thought at this point in our lives or this point in this year would have already started or happened for us. They haven't happened yet in our lives. And God sent me to tell you today, that's why we need Advent more than we think. See, we need this Advent season so badly because I believe that God has saved the best. Ooh, somebody talk to me today. Oh, somebody talk to the preacher today. God has saved the best for last. Jesus famously brought out the best wine at the party. Jesus got the spirit of Vanessa Williams. Save the best for, say the best. See, if you was born in like 2000, then just say amen and nod your head. And so God sent me today, in this last month of the year, to tell you that God has saved the best for last. That God has saved the best of what he has promised you, the best of what you're hoping for, the best of what you want out of him for last. That God isn't done just because the year is almost done. Who got faith today? Just because the year is almost done doesn't mean that God is almost done. That God has saved the best for last. And so today my assignment, actually not even today, for the last 3 weeks, because we only have 3 more weeks of service. So I don't know what y'all got planned and what your Saturday nights are going to look like, but after this week, there's only 2 more services in this year. So I expect to see everybody at church because there's only 2 more services in 2021 that The Gathering is going to be having. So for the next 3 weeks, I don't want to speak to your situation. God sent me to speak to your expectation. Because I believe God isn't done yet. And if I have 5 people in here with the faith to believe that with me, I believe we're going to turn this neighborhood upside down in 2022. So if you can't stand with me for the scripture reading, I'm in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Somebody say amen. 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 It's a famous passage. We've heard it before, but God has given me a message for you out of it that I think is going to really speak to you today. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Will you bow with me in prayer? Father God, I thank you that you are more than our expectations. We may just be expecting a savior or a healer, but I thank you that you are a God that does exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That you are so much more than just a savior or a healer. You're a wonderful counselor. You're a mighty God. You're an everlasting father. You are a prince of peace. And Jesus, we need every aspect of who you are in these last 3 weeks of this year to get your promises into our spirit so that we can run in them in faith in 2022. And so God, today, I pray that you hide me behind the cross. I pray that you get this dust of a man out the way so that your people can see you. And I pray that the words of my lips and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our strength and our redeemer. All agree with that said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And y'all look amazing. You guys look wonderful today. Give God some praise. Y'all just look great. The room is full. Y'all sound amazing. My Lord. That's what I'm saying. Yo, I see you do your best. Got the red Dewey on. I see you, boy. Velvet Dewey. I see you. Boy, smooth. Boy, smooth. Now, if I gave you absolutely no context and simply told you, show me where I could find that verse that I just read to you in the Bible. For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Most of us, if we didn't have any context, would say Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But the crazy thing about these verses is they're not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These verses were actually prophetically written 700 years before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were even thought of. 700 years before Jesus was even born. And as I read these verses this week, I heard the Holy Spirit say something to me loud and clear. Because I've read this passage 1,000 times. We've heard this passage 1,000 times. But there was something new in it that God gave me this week. He said, tell them that if their expectations are going to change, their faith in my promises must change. See, these verses are not recorded facts. These verses are promises. They were promised about God's future that the people of Isaiah's day had no context for when God was going to do. In fact, this promise of a child being born and a son being given wasn't fulfilled within 10 lifetimes of when God gave it. And yet the promise still came. Oh, God sent me to speak to somebody's faith today. Because it's important for you to understand that our God may be many things. Our God is a healer. And our God is a savior. And our God is a provider. And our God is a protector. But at his core, if you're going to understand who the God you worship and serve truly is, then you must understand that you don't just worship a provider. You don't just worship a protector. You worship a God who at his core is a promise-making and promise-keeping God. Somebody say amen. Amen. God can make a promise to you today and fulfill it tomorrow. Or he can make a promise to you today and fulfill it 700 years from now. God's promises isn't subjected to our momentary frustrations. God's promises are not subjected to our personal goals. God's promises aren't subjected to our finite existence in our limited timelines. God's promises are not subjected to our 5-year plans or our 10-year vision. God's promises are still faithful and good even in the wait. Somebody is waiting. And you're wondering if God is faithful because you've been waiting. But God's promises are still faithful, even in the wait. If he said he's going to do it, guess what? Newsflash. He's going to do it. Often when God says he's going to do it, he doesn't tell you when he's going to do it. And this is where faith has to step in for us as believers. This is where our faith has to grow up. This is where our faith has to mature. This is where we have to sit at the spiritual adult table. Because God is going to give you promises in your life, and he's going to call you to things in your life, and he's going to put things before you in your life, and he's going to say, I'm going to do it. Well, when, God? I ain't tell you that. I just said, I'm going to do it. And you're like, oh, Lord, hold up. I'm going to need some more information than that. And God says to you, no. You don't need more information. You need more revelation. You need more revelation into who I am. You need more revelation into my nature. You need more revelation into who I am as a God, that I don't break my promises, and if I've called you to it, I'm going to get you through it. You have to trust me now. You have to, somebody say, trust him. See, in this 3-week Advent series, I want to walk you through the 3 movements of destiny. I want to walk you through, because we're on a cusp of destiny. We're about to step into a year of touch. We're about to step into a year where God is going to redeem the years that the locusts have eaten. We're about to step into a season where God is going to give us back everything that the enemy has tried to steal. I just said I need 5 people with faith. That's all I need today. We're about to step into a season of promise. Of promise. We're going to have to step into a season where you're going to have to get your heart in heart some work. You're going to have to get the jackhammer of faith and let that drink. On that fallow ground that used to be your heart. On that fallow ground that used to be your faith in God. On that fallow ground that used to be the relationships that you used to seek out, and now you hide from people and you hide from things and you don't want nobody to see you and you just want to stay home and watch everything virtual. No. God is calling you back. He's calling you back into touch because you can't live there. That's where we've settled, but that's not where we're going to stay. And there's 3 movements of destiny. Somebody say 3 movements. So that's what I'm going to preach to us in the next 3 weeks. The 3 movements of destiny are promise, preparation, and fulfillment. There is nobody in Scripture that God gives a call to a certain destiny to where he doesn't give them a promise, then call them to a season of preparation, and then ultimately call them to walk in it. Fulfillment. So today I'm going to talk about the first movement of destiny, which is promise. Somebody say promise. Now, in many ways, in every significant relationship in our life, they're grounded on a set of promises. A marriage isn't built on a ring. It ain't built on, I don't want to bust your bubble. It ain't built on compatibility. It definitely ain't built on cuteness. Because let me tell you, sometimes the cuter they are, the worse they are for you. Yeah, I know. Y'all done got caught out there. Fellas, ladies, can't trust a big button to smile. You heard them. So the reality is cuteness ain't going to get you through. How many of y'all have tried cuteness? You tried cuteness, didn't you? He got abs, don't he? Oh, girl, he look like Tyson, girl. He just look like Tyson. He got them eyes. Look at him, girl. Cuteness don't work. Compatibility doesn't work. Well, we like the same things, you know, PK. So, you know, I think we're going to get married because, you know, we both like art. No, we both like, you know, sports. We both like to travel. Yeah, yeah, y'all could be a traveling mess. A hot mess. Everywhere you travel, just your mess travels with you. No, what makes a marriage work is not a ring, it's not compatibility, it's definitely not cuteness, it's vows. What are vows? Vows are unconditional promises that you'll love each other to the best of your ability, regardless of the season or situation. Vows are permanent. Vows are not changing. Vows are promises that even if you're not keeping your end of the bargain, I will keep mine. even if you're not stepping into the things you promised me you would do, I'm not going to step away from the things I promised God and you that I would do. There's seasons in your marriage when you do get married, if you are married, and if you are married, say amen. But if you're not married yet, when you do get married, there will be seasons in your marriage where you will say, I don't want to do this anymore. And the thing that keeps you there is not compatibility, it ain't cuteness, and it ain't a ring. You can take them all back. The thing that keeps you there is your promise. If you make the mistake of making marriage about a ring, your relationship will be as hollow as that ring. Because it's only the promise that makes it whole. The same is true of our most foundational relationship. All of us may not be married, but all of us have parents. In our relationship with our parents, a parental relationship is a promise-driven relationship. A parent may not make vows to you like a husband or a wife to love you unconditionally and provide for you sacrificially, but that's exactly what a parent does, isn't it? And whether vows are made or not, the expectation is still the same, which is, if you're my parent, when I'm hungry, you'll feed me. When I'm naked, you'll clothe me. When I'm in need, you'll provide for me. Those things are not guarantees. How many of us have had parents that have not kept those promises? Because they're not guarantees. They're promises that each parent has to decide that they're going to fulfill. Which means a bad parent isn't necessarily a bad parent because they're a bad person. They're a bad parent because they chose to break the promise of providing and nurturing their child into adulthood. But here's what I need you to see today. The reason that God built promise making and promise keeping into our most significant relationships is because God wanted every relationship in our lives to point back to the most important relationship in our lives, which is what? Which is the most important relationship in our lives? Fracture made whole. Y'all remember what's the most important relationship? Let me hear somebody. Our relationship with God. And here's what we don't realize about our relationship with God. Your ability to trust God's promises, keep God's promises, and build your life on God's promises is ultimately going to determine the depth of your relationship with God. Not how much scripture you read, not how many prayers you pray, not how long you in the prayer closet, or how long you fast, or how long you've been serving, or how long you've been in the faith. No. The things that will make your relationship with God thrive is your ability to trust, keep, and build your life on his promises. Somebody say amen. Our God is a promise-making and promise-keeping God. Somebody say amen. And it's impossible to have a thriving relationship with a promise-making and promise-keeping God if you don't believe his promise. It's impossible to have a healthy relationship with a promise-keeping and promise-keeping God if you don't actively live a life that builds it, that builds your life on the things that he's promised you to give you. Some of us are wondering why our relationship with God has felt stagnant. But what you need to understand is stagnation may be the fruit, but it is not the root. The root is somewhere in your life. You have stopped trusting in God's promises. You have stopped believing in God's promises. You have stopped building your life on God's promises. You have stopped standing on God's promises. You have stopped saying, God, I don't care what this thing throws at me or that thing throws at me. I know what you said to me, and I'm going to build my life on that, and I'm going to run with that, and I'm going to write the vision and make it plain, and I'm going to run with it, and I'm never going to waver. I'm not going to look to the left or to the right. I don't care how stormy it gets, how scary it gets. God, you are faithful. I'm building my life on you. There is no stagnation in your life without first losing faith in some of God's promises, whether it be his promise to never leave you or forsake you, or his promise to give you a hope in the future, or his promise to see you through to the other side of trouble. There is no stagnation in our walk with God without first losing hopeful expectation in God. So today I want to talk to you not just about a promise of God, but about the promise of God, Jesus Christ. Because all promises aren't created equal. Y'all do know that, right? The promise I make each week to be at the office, at the gatherings office at a certain time to meet with a certain person, whoever that may be each week, and y'all know it's always somebody different because y'all know your pastor stay busy. It's not the same kind of promise that I made to Shanika before God and our family and friends on our wedding day. See, promises, though equally valid, are not created equal. That was a bar for somebody. Promises, though equally valid, are not created equal. And God made many promises to me and you about many things, but only about Jesus does he say, all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So with that being said, there's two things about Jesus that I want to give you today. Y'all ready for him? Ready for him? Two things about the promise of God. The first thing I need you to see is that the promise is a gift. Somebody said the promise is a gift. Let's look back at this text. The very first lines in our text today tells us all we need to know about God's promise. The Bible says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Now, these verses go together with Christmas like peanut butter and jelly. Like popcorn and butter. Like rice and beans. Like Kanye and Rance. I mean, you just can't have one without the other. But with all the pageantry of these verses, most of us have missed their power, because the power of these verses isn't in the promise that a child will be born. The power in these verses is in the promise that a son will be given. Look closely at what Isaiah says. He says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a what? A son is what? Notice a son is born, is not born, he's given. Can I help somebody? Can we go a little deeper? The child was born. The son was given. The child was born. Isaiah's not talking about the child that was born. Isaiah is talking about the son that was given. See, there was a child that was born to a poor Jewish woman who went into labor in a manger 2,000 years ago. And that poor Jewish woman, young woman, named that child Yeshua. Yeshua. But that's not what Isaiah is talking about. He's not talking about a Jewish baby being born in a Roman world. Stuff like that happens all the time. Children are born all the time. We don't stop the presses when every child is born. The world doesn't stop and the calendar shift and angels sing when every child is born. There's 130 million children born every year worldwide. The earth doesn't stop when 130 million children enter the world. There's a child born every 4 seconds. The world doesn't stop when a child enters the world. But the world stopped because 2,000 years ago, a child didn't just enter the world. A son was given. God didn't give us a child. He gave us a son. The son that was present in creation when the Spirit hovered above the waters in Genesis. The son who wrestled Jacob into Israel. The son who was the reason why God told Abraham, don't sacrifice your promise, because I have a better offering. I have better provision that I'm going to provide later for you. The son who spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Not that burning bush. It was another burning bush now. Because y'all be hearing stuff speaking to you out of burning bushes. But not that burning bush. And about this son, the Apostle John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus wasn't created 2,000 years ago. Jesus arrived in human form 2,000 years ago. And this is why the most famous passage in Scripture says this, for God so loved the what? The world that he did what? That he gave it what? His only son. So that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand today the gift that has been given to you in Jesus? Do you understand what you have in Jesus Christ? Do you realize that of all the things you can pray for, and of all the things you can believe God for, and of all the things you can ask God to do in your life, nothing could equal to what he's already done by giving you Jesus. God has already given you the greatest gift he could ever give. What are you believing him for? It ain't greater than that. He's already given you the greatest thing he ever could. See, I get frustrated because I talk to Christians all the time and they say things to me like, PK, I'm just waiting on my blessing. I'm just waiting on my blessing, PK. I'm waiting on my blessing. I know my blessing is coming. My blessing is coming. I've been going to the gym. I'm waiting on my blessing. I've been serving. I'm waiting on my blessing. I've been paying my tithes. I'm waiting on my blessing. But do you realize that there's no blessing you can wait on that is greater than the blessing you already have, which is God has given you the most precious thing in the universe, his very own son. We should stop waiting for a blessing. Can we stop waiting for a blessing in 2022? Here's a perspective shift. Can we stop waiting for a blessing and instead start praising him for the blessing we already have? Do you know the waiting gets easier when the praising gets stronger? Some of y'all waiting is so hard. The wait is so hard because the praise is so little. But if you maybe stopped waiting and just said, you know what? I'm just going to show up at church and I'm just going to start praising. Not only would the thing that you're waiting for get done faster, but you'll feel a lot better. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, the first thing I need you to understand as I move to my last point about God's promise is you can trust God for smaller promises because he's already given you the greatest promise. So I don't know what like little promises you're believing God for right now. And I say little because I don't mean to belittle them. I do know like they're important things, whether it's a family, whether it's children, whether it's a next level in career, whether it's a business, whether it's a degree, whether it's a PhD, a master's degree, whatever it is you believe in God for, a pay raise, those aren't little things. Healing, those aren't little things, but they're little in the grand scheme of what he's already given you. And you can trust God for those little things because of the big thing, Jesus, that he's already given you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody repeat after me. Last point, ready? The promise is ours. Oh, say that a little louder. The promise is ours. I want to go back to verse 6 because there's a key word in there that we miss all the time when we talk about these verses on Christmas. The Bible says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I just love that. But I love what Isaiah says that we often miss. We get that part, but we miss this part. Isaiah says that Jesus is not only a gift. He's not just the son that was given. He's not just a gift. Not only is he a wonderful counselor. Not only is he a mighty God. Not only is he an everlasting father. Not only is he a prince of peace. Not only is he the eternal word made flesh. Not only is he the second person of the Trinity, divinity wrapped in humanity. He's also ours. He's ours. Did you hear what I just said? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He's not just a mighty God. He's not just a wonderful counselor. He's not just the Prince of Peace. He's mine. Somebody say he's mine. Somebody telling your neighbor, say, he mine. I mean, he could be yours too. Tell him, he could be yours too. But he definitely mine. Jesus belongs to us. He's not just above us. He's not just greater than us. He's not just the one who redeems us. He's ours. See, the point of a gift is the moment that the gift is given, an exchange happens. And the thing that is given is no longer mine. It's now yours. There's many things that a $20 bill can do. What is this? What is that? It's a piece of paper. Well, what is it? What does it represent? It honestly, money, the point of money is like, this is just a piece of paper. Like, this has no value other than what you attribute to it. We attribute value to a piece of paper, and we kill ourselves and kill each other to get it. And it's just a piece of paper. And it has no value other than that which you attribute to it. So we have said this piece of paper is worth $20. That there's a certain amount of things that I could buy with this piece of paper because I have it, and I give it in exchange for something, and I get something back. $20 has many possibilities. There's many different things that it can represent. It's many different things that it can become. True? True. All right, with that being said, Hilda, come up here, girl. Come on, Hilda. Come on, hurry up, girl. Come up here, Hilda. Y'all give Hilda some love. Come here, girl. Come here. Hilda's a day one, A1. I love her like cooked food. Don't y'all love Hilda? Hilda, everything that $20 is and everything that it can do and everything that it represents and everything that it's capable of becoming is no longer mine, it's yours. Love you, girl. Love you. It's yours. Y'all give God some praise. Now, that was just $20. That was just $20. But that's what God did for us when he gave us Jesus. He didn't just give us a way to be forgiven. He gave us everything that Jesus represents. Everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus can do, everything that Jesus wants to do, everything that Jesus can become, he gave you that when he gave you him. God didn't just give you a pardon, God gave you a person. And if $20 can become anything from groceries to gas, from bills to brunch, my question for you today is, what can Jesus become in your life? Because if $20 can become bills or brunch, what could Jesus become? If the gift that God has given us is infinitely greater, what could he become in your life? See, the problem with Christians is we don't have a gift problem, we have a faith problem. We have a faith problem. You can have $20 in your possession, but you can do nothing with it, you can squander it, or you can invest it in your future. You can use it to bless somebody or you can use it selfishly. There's many different things you can do with money. And the same is true with the gift. There's many different things you can do with Jesus. But the problem is not that we don't have the blessing. The problem is we squander the blessing. You don't have a gift problem. You have a vision problem. Family, if you believe in Jesus today, you have in your possession the greatest gift ever given to mankind. You have him right now. You have the Son that was given. You have the Son of God who says to you in his word, I'm yours. He says, I'm yours. I'm going to go with you everywhere you go. I'm going to live in you and make my home in you. I'm going to advocate to the Father for you. I'm going to send my spirit to empower you. I'm going to give you wisdom and gifts. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. Did you hear his promise to you? And yet I talk to so many Christians who are unhappy with their lives. And they have all of those promises at their fingertips. And my question to you today, if that's you, is if God gave you victory in every area of your life right now that you're unhappy in, but he took away Jesus, would you still be content? Because here's what we're saying to God. What we're saying to God is, even though I know that I have Jesus, and I have the greatest gift that the world that you could ever give me, I have the greatest blessing. I don't need to wait for a blessing. I got the blessing. Because I don't have this, this, and this, and because this ain't right, and that ain't right, and this ain't right, and because this relationship is broken, and that thing ain't right, and this thing ain't right, and that money ain't coming fast enough, and that thing ain't come through, I'm not happy. So what we're really saying to God is, God, you could just take away what I need to just give me what I want. Because God would have gave it to you yesterday if you needed it today. Do you believe that he's a good father? Do we believe that he's a good father? Do we believe that he don't give his children stone when they ask for bread? Do we believe that he's a good father? Well, if we believe that he's a good father, then you should know that God didn't heal because it's not necessary for what he's about to do next. If you believe he's a good father, then you should know that God didn't keep that person around because they're not necessary for what he's about to do next. If you believe he's a good father, then you would believe that God didn't stop that situation because it is necessary for what he's about to do next. If you believe he's a good father, then you would believe that God allowed that betrayal. That betrayal, you know that betrayal. You know that person you don't rock with no more. That person you used to be cool with and you ain't cool with, you know what I'm talking about? They might just say amen. You might be sitting next to them. I don't know. But you know who that person is, who you don't rock with no more. God allowed that betrayal because there's something in it for you that leads to what he's about to do next. God doesn't always tell us what he's about to do next. But he does tell us how the story ends. Can I close on this? All right, I'm going to close on this. We don't get each chapter in our story, but we do get the conclusion. And the only way to make it through the story called existence well is to live life with the end. Somebody say end. With the end in mind. You have to remember how the story ends in order to make sense of each chapter you have in it. God's promise is that he will wipe every tear from our eye and sin and death will be no more. God's promise is eye has not seen and ear has not heard what he has in store for those who love him. God's promise is all things will work together for the good of those who love him who have been called according to his purpose. And the proof that God is good on those promises is the promise, Jesus Christ. God gave us his son so that you would always know that God is good on every other promise that he has given to your life. And who is the promise? Who is Jesus? I'm glad you asked. Isaiah tells us here, he's a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. Isaiah says he's a prince of peace. But Isaiah is just one little book of 66 books in a whole Bible that got a whole lot more to say about Jesus. Because the Bible says that he's not just a mighty God. He's not just a prince of peace. He's not just a wonderful counselor. He's also a bridge over troubled water. He's also the Lion of Judah. He's also the Rose of Sharon. He's also a friend that sits closer than a brother. He's also the Root of Jesse. He's also the Alpha and Omega. He's also the author and perfecter of your faith. Is your faith wavering? Is your faith on the edge? Do you feel like quitting today? Well, you got an author and perfecter of your faith. His name is Jesus. He's also the bread of life. Who's hungry? He's also the good shepherd. Who feels lost? He's also the Lamb of God. Who got some sin that you need removed? He's also the light of the world. Who's stumbling through darkness right now? He's also the great I am. I don't know about you, but I got a God who can do it all. He got a name for whatever you need. What do you need? You need provision. Well, he's Jehovah Jireh. You walking in darkness, he's the light of the world. You feel overcome. Well, he's a wonderful counselor. Family, you don't know what's happening in the middle, but he's the beginning and the end. My final word to you today is you have a promise. You have a gift. His name is Jesus. And your life would change if you learned how to unwrap it better. I hope you don't just know how to unwrap gifts under a tree. I pray this Advent season you learn how to unwrap the gift that hung on a tree. Because the moment you start learning how to do that, you'll start learning how to walk out of things and walk into things and call things that are not as though they are and tear down things and build other things up. You'll learn how to plant and how to uproot, and you'll have complete clarity on your destiny. This is the first step of destiny today. Promise.
But there's no promise that you have that for your life that won't be found first as you find him. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in him. Family, we're entering a season of promise as a church. I got a big announcement that I'm making next week. There's a lot of things that are about to change and shift in this house. There's promises, there's touch, there's transformation, there's everything on the way. It's right there. I see it. I feel it. I've seen it in the spirit. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the revelation. I've seen what God is going to do. I know the season we're about to walk into. I know the faith it's going to take to get there. But here's what God has said to me. What God has said to me is our ability to walk into the next season of blessing, the next season of blessing, is going to be determined by how we trust, how we root ourselves, and how we build our lives on Jesus, his promise to us. And so that's my prayer today. My prayer today is that we walk out of here with a deeper commitment and a deeper desire to be in him. Just to be in him. I don't want us to walk away with a deeper desire to be healed, with a deeper desire to be anything else that we're hoping to be right now. Just a deeper desire to be in him. Because in him, you will find all the promises you're looking for. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we just get to be in him. There's no better place to be than in him. Jesus, you are our safe place. You are the cleft in the rock that we can hide in. You are the one in the wilderness who leads us to water. Jesus, may you show up in this church. You've been showing up through water and from a rock and through manna from heaven. But we want to walk in a land flowing with milk and honey. We want to walk in some promises that you have spoken over us as a congregation. God, you've given me so many promises about this church. And I've seen glimpses and provision even in the wilderness. But God, today, we want to take the steps necessary to prepare ourselves to walk in your promise. Father, I know that in order for that to happen, the issue is not the promise. The issue is us. The issue is us. We are the problem, not the promise. So deal with us. Deal with us at the end of this year. Deal with us this last month of the year. Get out of us the things that need to be crucified. Remove the relationships that need to go. God, if we're honest, we just don't have the strength. Give us the courage to do the things we don't have the strength to do. I mean, we know, God, we got to do some stuff before this year ends. We know we got to walk into 2022 different than we're walking out of 2021. We know that. But God, if we're being honest, I'll be honest for the people who can't say it today. God, there's some stuff we know we have to do that we need your help to do because we don't have the courage to do it by ourselves. Help us, God. Help us. But as you do it, get glory and deepen our faith in Jesus. We ask these things in his precious name. Everybody said amen. 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 Amen.